910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Hurricane Melissa churning across Jamaica after making landfall earlier in New Hope on the island's west coast, north of the eco-tourism town of Black River. The Category 5 hurricane posing a threat to the entire island and other neighboring islands, packing 185 miles per hour winds when it hit. Here's ABC's Zaika Jachi, who's in Kingston.
The eye of Hurricane Melissa, the strongest storm to ever hit Jamaica in its history, has officially made landfall. This storm is bringing catastrophic conditions all across the island here. We're talking about 185 mile per hour winds that is essentially damaging so much critical infrastructure here, and also 13 feet of storm surge, which is threatening to inundate the southern coastline area here.
Officials say crews are ready to carry out rescues only when the storm passes and it's safe. The storm is not expected to pose a direct threat to the U.S. mainland. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers has announced Wisconsin will join a multi-state lawsuit seeking to force the U.S. Department of Agriculture to release contingency funding for food share benefits. Due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, SNAP programs across the country, including food share in Wisconsin, are expected to see delays with benefits for the month of November. Last week, the USDA issued a memo stating that $3 billion of that contingency funding could not be legally used to address administrative costs and benefit payments during the shutdown. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is reminding farmers to check runoff risk advisory forecasts before spreading manure on their fields. According to a press release, the agency has an online tool to warn farmers when weather conditions and soil temperatures increase the chance of manure spills. The agency is also reminding farmers that all agriculture and livestock operations must report spills or runoff that could potentially impact surface or groundwater, which can be done through a 24-hour emergency spills hotline. Barron County 4-H is advising residents that the 2025 Barron County Plat Book is now available for purchase. The Plat Book is updated yearly to include things like property boundaries and topographical maps of the county. This year's edition also includes maps of area watersheds, school districts, recreational trails, and more. Area residents can purchase the 2025 Plat Book at a variety of locations, including the UW-Eau Claire Barron County Campus and the County Government Center. The proceeds raised support youth in Barron County 4-H. The Northwest Wisconsin Grazers Network and a handful of partner organizations are inviting residents to their annual Fall Grazing Conference this weekend. The conference will be held at the Shell Lake Community Center on Saturday from 8 a.m. to around 4 p.m. Attendees will have a chance to check out new agency and commercial exhibits and network with other grazers to discuss new ways to improve their own operations. Residents interested in attending the conference must register by Wednesday, which can be done on the organization's website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, you know, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, you know, to playing from behind. You know, it's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, you know, if we want to be, you know, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we got to, you know, really embrace, you know, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And, there's no excuses in this league. You know, it doesn't matter who's out there. You know, we all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky on tap for your Tuesday afternoon. A southeast breeze with highs in the mid-50s. For tonight, we'll see mostly cloudy skies in lower 30s. Sunshine returning, though, for your Wednesday. Highs in the mid-50s. Currently 49 degrees.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow. On Wednesday, State Assembly Representative Angelina Cruz visits our homeroom segment, and we'll talk to Earl Ingram of the What's Going On podcast.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 28th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison, at the intersection of State Street and Fairchild. Zommer is a cloudy day as we take a look at the Sam Davidson street cam in downtown Madison this morning. Cloudy fall day, seasonal out there, people milling about downtown Madison. Leaves starting to, well, the one tree across the street there still has a lot of green on it, but the other one is yellowish and losing its leaves, kind of like my hair, losing its leaves. Zommers, I feel like my voice has gotten worse again today. Would you?
I think a little bit.
A little bit. Apologize to all of our listeners. Continue to push through. I mean, I'm just glad so far it's nothing worse than a salivary gland stone and I think some seasonal allergies. But yeah, I apologize. It's not more pleasant to listen to, but we'll try to push on. And big show today. Glad to have you along with us here in hour number two, a Wisconsin fun fact, and very seasonal edition of What's Worse Today, Raking Leaves or Cleaning Gutters. We'll talk about that in hour two. Should be a good time to have by all. Going to follow up on a story that we started yesterday on changes happening at CBS News. Of course, the parent company Paramount has been bought by Skydance or merged with Skydance. And they hired Barry Weiss, who ran the conservative-leaning Free Press. They paid her 7 times the value for that online publication, $150 million. And they made her the editor-in-chief of CBS News. And now yesterday there was word from John Dickerson himself, one of the co-anchors of the CBS Evening News. He is leaving that broadcast and the network by the end of the year, unclear whether it was entirely his choice. And now 60 Minutes, former 60 Minutes producer Bill Owens speaking out. And more news today, changes coming fast and furious. Paramount's going to announce at least 1,000 job cuts tomorrow. And Barry Weiss, you're not going to believe who she's courting to bring into CBS News. We're going to tell you that in a little while here. Also going to talk about Governor Evers' press conference yesterday and laying out, and I think this is good, in real terms, what it's going to cost Wisconsinites for their Affordable Care Act, i.e., also known as Obamacare, what it's going to cost Wisconsinites new premiums if the tax credits are not extended by Congress as a part of this shutdown. We'll tell you in real numbers what that's going to mean. Also, we didn't get to this. There's been one of these, you know, so many things out there. I feel it's, I think we should need to just revisit this, and we will today. Over the weekend, Canada put out a great ad from Ontario to put in context what traditional Republicans in this country, especially Ronald Reagan, thought of tariffs, and Donald Trump did not like it. We'll let you hear the ad for yourself on that as well. Other news, and so we got a great cut by our own Mike Clemens. He interviewed Aaron Rodgers over the weekend as part of that Steelers-Packers game. And I don't think it's been played in its entirety. We'll play it later on today. Great question by our own Mike Clemens to Aaron Rodgers about an iconic moment in his time in Green Bay, in Rodgers' own words. We'll play that for you as well.
Yeah, great question and a great answer, I will say.
It really was. And by the way, you stayed up, Sommers, for the World Series last night?
I stayed up for part of it. Once we got to the bottom of inning 12, I just said, you know what? It's time to call it a night. My roommate, who's super into baseball, he went to bed in the middle of inning 11. And I was like, you know what? If he's not staying up for this, I'm just going to go to bed.
It was a two for one game. It went a full 18 innings. 18. Most of them. Ball games are nine. So basically, they played two games last night. Got done in the wee hours of the morning. And
God, he's so tired.
Freddie Freeman, who, of course, gave the Brewers everything they could handle and more in the NLCS. Freddie Freeman in the bottom of the 18th, as Mike Clemens reported. Walk-off home run. Dodgers win 6-5. They go up three games to one, right? I don't know what it was. No, it's two games to one. Right now. So anyway, it was an exciting World Series and game last night. I did not watch it. I was trying to recuperate the voice, and it's chilling out last night. But anyway, we'll keep on that as well. But first, at 11 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, want to bring you this. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time because it's international news, but I think it's of the importance that we need to at least mention this on this program. Headline, courtesy of the Associated Press, Gaza ceasefire tested as Israel and Hamas exchange fire and blame. In the Gaza Strip today, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that he has ordered the army to immediately carry out quote-unquote powerful strikes in Gaza. And Hamas responded by saying it would delay handing over the body of a hostage, putting new pressure on the tenuous U.S.-brokered ceasefire. Associated Press reporters and witnesses heard tank fire and saw explosions in various parts of Gaza, including Gaza City. The order for the strike came after an Israeli official said Hamas had fired on its forces in southern Gaza and after the Palestinian militant group handed over body parts yesterday that Israel said were the partial remains of a hostage recovered earlier in the war. To kind of just cut to the chase on this, and I'm no expert, but listening to actual legitimate expert reporting out of the region, part of the ceasefire deal was that Hamas would turn over the live hostages, which, as far as we know, they've done to date to Israel, and Israel turned over Palestinian prisoners to Palestine, which they did. And then the other part of it was that Hamas would turn over the remains of those hostages that died while in captivity. And it's been going, they've been delivering remains. And yesterday they were supposed to deliver remains to Israel. And after the testing by the official Israeli department that does autopsies, through DNA evidence, they determined that the body parts that were given to them were, how shall I put it, more remains from someone they already had. So in other words, obviously the body had been completely decomposed, and so they already had those remains, and through DNA they were able to say, no, you didn't give us everything. This is nothing new. This is remains of somebody we already have. And that's kind of set things off. I don't know that anyone really expected this so-called Trump brokered deal to hold. And as I've said this program before, if Trump's people had anything to do with the ceasefire, look, I'm glad for it. But the ceasefire, as many are in this region of the world, is tenuous at best. So we'll continue to follow that on this Tuesday for you as well. Much closer to home here in Wisconsin, and we've talked about this on this program before, and it's something I think is only going to continue to be one of the top stories in this state. Data centers, whatever you want to call them. This from Channel 3000 here in Madison, the CBS affiliate. The village of DeForest, which is just it's a suburb just north of Madison, has been approached for a possible data center. A data center company is exploring whether to build a center in the village of DeForest, according to village administrator Bill Chang. He said that the QTS data centers approached DeForest about possibly annexing land for the center. The village has not yet received any petition for annexation or land use approvals. Chang said if an annexation petition was filed with the village, it would be reviewed with state statutes and with other considerations of the project's impact on the village. The project will also be reviewed by the Wisconsin Department of Administration. We're seeing this all over the state. And God bless Charlie Behrens, who normally does not wade into partisan political battles. Great comedian, great, you know, he hosts Minute to Walk Minute. He's the Keep Removing guy. You see him now on Quick Trip ads. Great guy. And he's using his platform, Charlie Behrens, to bring awareness to this and say, look, these data centers, they ain't everything that they're cracked up to be. And we've had people on this program before talking about this. I don't like them at all. I'll just be honest. I don't think there's any reason to have them in Wisconsin. Look, we're going to have data centers in the United States, whether they come to Wisconsin or not. And this whole line that they're using to sell this to people in Wisconsin is, oh, look at the jobs we're going to create. Look at the tax base we'll create. Well, most of the jobs are going to be robotic. It's not going to be thousands of jobs. And the trade-off is, as Charlie Behrens has pointed out, almost every place these data centers are built, the price of electricity to you and I, the general Wisconsinite, goes up. And add into that the millions of gallons of water that these data centers need to cool all this stuff. And again, these data centers, it's, you know, it supports the cloud. Right, Summers?
Yeah, and one quick note on the water usage. A lot of them are using different cooling system with a closed loop, so it's not consuming water necessarily, but it still could raise the temperature of a lake, which is really bad for fish. Or even with a closed loop, instead of using up water, now it's just going to use a lot more electricity.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and that's what leads to higher prices. And as Charlie Behrens, as you pointed out, Somers, we don't know the full implication to our lakes, our fish, our streams. And I think most Wisconsinites value the fact that we have some great trout streams in this state. Has some great places to lakes to fish for bluegills, crappies, walleye, bass. And I think we better be pretty careful and do some more research here and ask some more pointed questions. And I've said in this program, I get it from a local elected official standpoint, because unfortunately, the Republican-controlled legislature at the Capitol is not appropriating the amount of money they should to help support local governments. So the local government is faced with the choice, either A, raise local taxes on our constituents to pay for things, or try to do one of these kind of out-of-the-box deals. So the local elected official is put in a box. But be careful before you sign these agreements, because the implications to our communities could be lifelong. Come back. Take your phone calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. And also tell you about AI. What skills will keep you employed in the age of AI? We'll discuss it and tell you what they are on the other side. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Let's go.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Yeah, freedom. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 28th. Aaron Zummers on the board. Glad to have you along here, talking a little bit more about another proposed data center, this time in the south-central part of the state, here in Dane County, one of our suburbs of Madison called DeForest. Not the trees, but DeForest. Anyway, one of these data centers trying to hone in, and I get it from local governments who are not getting the appropriate amounts of money from the state capitol and the Republican-controlled legislature for local government to keep services going. Then they say, well, okay, we either got to cut services locally or we got to raise the local taxes on our friends and neighbors. And along come these out-of-towner, out-of-state, and sometimes out-of-country folks that say, well, here's a few million dollars if you let us build a data center. And it's all kind of ambiguous. It's like, oh, yeah, we all use data. And the more that we use the handheld devices, right, the more data centers we need to store all this. But what isn't being talked about enough, particularly in the state, is the damage this potentially could do to our waterways, to our fish in those waterways, and the fact that it could raise electricity prices on the average everyday consumer. So I caution people. I mean, there's another one down in Janesville last night in Rock County where another data center, they want to take over the old GM plant, General Motors plant that closed years ago. Want to transform that into a data center. Well, if you've ever been to Janesville, they have the beautiful Rock River and everything there. And none of this, very little of this is being taken into consideration. And so I urge all of, I mean, this could hit every part of Wisconsin, you guys. So I hope everyone listening to this program, when these data centers are proposed for your local community, go to the meetings. Ask questions. Because this is going to affect all of us as Wisconsinites in one way or the other. Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Troy, listening in Mount Horeb on WMDX here in Madison. Troy, thanks for calling. What say you?
I'm wondering in the Milwaukee area how they get how they're getting these approved. Waukesha had to beg for water from the Great Lakes. Every border state and Canada to the Great Lakes had to approve Waukesha getting water. So how are these data centers being allowed to use these massive amounts of water?
I don't know. I don't know the 100% answer, Troy. My best guess, educated guesses, and I'll double check myself on this. My guess is because Waukesha was going to use that water from the Great Lakes as part of their municipal water system, where these data centers, the way that they presented, at least in some cases, early, to Zahmer's earlier point is, well, they're not actually consuming, quote unquote, the water. They're just letting it pass through to cool their system. So they're not actually taking water out of the Great Lakes. They're just letting it pass through. And that's the difference.
You would think these governments wouldn't want the lake's temperature to be raised like it's going to.
Bingo.
On that also, and they would object to that as well.
You would think. And I think there are citizens and groups out there that are doing just that. But yes. But the point, Troy, you bring it up, I've talked about, is that I get it, right? As a former local elected official in this state, I get it that when costs are going up locally and the Republican legislature is not giving you the amount of money that you need, then as a local elected official, it's either you got to look your friends and neighbors in the face and say, I'm voting to raise your taxes, or these people come in from out of town and dangle.
Wreck your environment.
Right. But the way it's being presented, and you've seen, you know, Troy, you've seen this. I'm sure. I mean, this, the reason I'm so skeptical is because I was working in the state capitol for former Republican Senator Dale Schultz when Scott Walker tried to fracking in the state and overrode local governments to allow fracking in the state, and also the same snow job up in northern Wisconsin, and this is how they sold it. By the way, thanks for calling, Troy. This is how they sold it, was that tens of thousands of jobs, all we have to do is change our environmental standards to make it easier for mining companies. And remember that state of the state that Walker had, Scott Walker, where it looked like the village people behind him. They had guys in hard hats and axe picks. And remember, they brought the state flag and said, oh, look, there's a miner on our state flag. This is our heritage. Well, yeah, when the state was founded. And they used that as a reason. And the leader in changing Wisconsin's environmental laws to do this was, as they say, toxic Tom Tiffany, who is in the state senate at the time, now wants to be governor. And you know how many, and they passed, my boss was the only one on the Republican side to vote against it. And they passed it, and they changed the environmental laws to endanger our rice fields, our native rice fields, to endanger our trout streams, to endanger our lakes, to endanger the Great Lakes, to endanger people's drinking water. And how many jobs has it created? Zero. Not one. We got time yet. Ollie and Kurt, hang on. We got to do a little farm news with our friend Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll come back and discuss this a little bit further. Because I think it's an important. I get the allure All right? It's not that I don't understand the allure for local governments, but I've seen this movie before. I bought the t-shirt. I know how it ends. And it ain't good for Wisconsin. Come on back. 855-752-4842 is the All Ball Show for a Tuesday. We will talk more about data centers, and we will tell you how to survive AI on the other side of the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report. It is possible by the end of the week, more than 40 million low-income households will face no food stamp assistance, no help with grocery bills at all. I'm Pam Yankee with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. But Wisconsin farmers stepping in to help their local communities. That story's next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
The National Farmers Union, along with the Wisconsin Farmers Union and Farmers Union Enterprises, trying to do what they can to prop up rural communities when it comes to food assistance programs and the lack of funding that may occur by the end of the week. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, says that they delivered 35,000 pounds of pork to Feeding America in eastern Wisconsin.
Just felt that with the current situation and farmers, especially in a bad spot, but also with the federal government and not knowing if there's going to be SNAP dollars available, wanted to make sure that communities around the upper Midwest had a little bit extra protein to consume and be available for those folks that can't afford to buy it. And, you know, it's one of those things that as farmers, we want to make sure that people have high-quality food.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, says the 35,000 pounds of pork here in Wisconsin, part of a bigger donation effort across five states. They donated a total of 175,000 pounds of pork to five different states.
From mealtime to snack time, pork has got you covered. Toss chops, rice, veggies, and seasonings in one pan for a weeknight flavor that gets everyone excited. Or add Italian sausage to soup for instant comfort food vibes. It's flavors worth sharing around the table because when pork's involved, every meal becomes the main event. For more crowd-pleasing recipes, visit tastewhatporkcando.com. This message brought to you by Wisconsin Pig Farmers and the Pork Checkoff.
And in case you didn't know it, this week is Bat Appreciation Week, not just in Wisconsin, but it's an annual international celebration. Did you know that with over 1,450 species, bats make up about 20% of all mammal species, making them the second largest group of mammals on Earth? Want to learn more about bats? Go to the Wisconsin DNR website and search for bats. That's a quick update on food news on a Monday. I'm PM Yankee. Start your day with me, Pam Yankee, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky on tap for your Tuesday afternoon. A southeast breeze with highs in the mid-50s. For tonight, we'll see mostly cloudy skies in lower 30s. Sunshine returning, though, for your Wednesday. Highs in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 51.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Right up there on the list of stupid. The president of the United States decided to lay off 1,000 people or so at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Dr. Kristen Lierley.
They weren't laid off strategically. They were laid off haphazardly. J.D. Vance himself admitted that it's chaotic.
Nothing screams competent government like laying off the people who respond to Ebola.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear.
vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This one goes out to Toxic Tom Tiffany.
But can't you see I'm calling?
Well, it's Toxic by Britney Spears.
Nicely done. Welcome back to the program. The Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Britney Spears and Toxic. Well done. It sounds like the way they, I mean, it was just, that's the way the song is. But it freaks me out because it sounds like it's cutting out or something. It's a weird song.
It's just the way that the samples are, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, welcome back. We're talking about the implications of people like Toxic Tom Tiffany, former state senator from northern Wisconsin, now U.S. congressman that wants to be governor, running for it in next year's elections. These data centers in Wisconsin. By the way, Zomer, don't let me forget, great report, by the way, from Midwest Farm Report director Pam Yonke, talking about the pork producers giving away meat in Wisconsin to people who SNAP benefits could be cut off at the end of this week. I want to return to that a little bit later because our own Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area, similar thing happening in Milwaukee. So especially for our listeners on WAUK, I want to come back to that. But right now, talking about these data centers, there's one going to be proposed here in Dane County in DeForest. One down in Rock County, a new one they had a hearing on last night in Janesville, happening all over the state. And I get the local elected officials are intrigued by this because they don't want to raise taxes of their local friends and neighbors, and the Republicans in the state legislature aren't adequately funding them. So these out-of-state and sometimes out-of-country investors come in and say, well, I'll give you X millions of dollars to build a data center. But what we don't know yet is the full impact it has on our streams and lakes in terms of fish population and our drinking water. And we do know that in most cases where these data centers have been built, local electricity prices to local consumers go up. So I've seen this movie before in the Walker administration when they gut environmental laws on mining in northern Wisconsin and said they're going to bring all kinds of jobs, and it turned out to be a boondoggle. The environmental rules got gutted, but no jobs. So just I'm just bringing this up because it's going to affect all of us in Wisconsin. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go first of all to Ollie in the North Woods, listening on WBZH in Hayward. Ollie, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, I'm so glad you're bringing this up again and again, because I think people really need to know how disastrous this can be for our state. Water-wise, electric-wise, bills have gone up. I've been checking this out for quite some time and watched a lot of videos and done a lot of research, and the amount of water that they use is horrendous. And they go to town halls and they tell people what the people want to hear.
Right.
That money is coming your way, but they don't tell them the real story. And I watched people from towns in the South say how bad it has been for their town. People who live next to them, their wells have run dry. They have sludge in their mm-hmm. their pumps instead of fresh water. And these are farmers that this is happening to. Can Wisconsin, the land of the dairy farmer, afford to have this happen here? out in the Northeast. I don't remember exactly what state it was, but they had a drought, normal drought, but it was made 10 times worse by the amount of water used by the data centers.
Yeah.
And you also brought up the point about mining, which has been on local news recently, that they plan to relax any regulations when it comes to data centers.
Right. No, it all goes together. Ali, thanks for the call. All great points, and I'm not saying I'm an environmental lawyer and have all the answers here. I'm just saying, based on research that I've done, but listen to other people, you know, Charlie Behrens isn't going to risk his livelihood or his reputation of being an honest Wisconsin straightforward guy if he didn't have some data. I admire Charlie Behrens for coming out against these data centers. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Kurt, listening on WMDX here in Madison. Kurt, what do you want to say?
I'm really glad you're having this discussion, because as someone who has an engineering background, I see a lot of stuff that I cringe. I couldn't believe of what happened. So to get to the point is, what we're discussing here is the externalities of what will happen if we put a facility like this in different places of the country, or in this case, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And if that same logic and procedure was done with everything, just about everything we consume, I'm not talking about groceries and stuff like that, but the things that we buy in the store and 2 years later throw away and ends up in a landfill,
right,
it would change the landscape of pollution in a staggering way. And the only other thing I want to add into this is, if we are going to do the data centers, then maybe we should have someone smart enough to conduct business like Alaska did with the pipeline.
Right.
So you put everything in place to ensure that they're not pulling groundwater to exhaust their water. They're not polluting. They're not, and they have to engineer this in a way that it's almost zero impact. You'll never get to zero. But then collect the fees. Have the thing, you want us to have this? Screw the us getting the increase on power and water. No, for every megabit of data that flows from these things, you're going to be writing us a dividend check.
Yeah. No, great call.
Back into Wisconsin.
Great point, Kurt. Really appreciate that. Really thoughtful, and being an engineer, important call as well. I appreciate that. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to beautiful Northwest Wisconsin, the Chippewa Valley, on WCFW, the tap up in beautiful Eau Claire. Gene in Eau Claire. Gene, thanks for calling. What say you?
Great job here. Wonderful topic. You know, the people that this is impacting right now, everybody needs to educate themselves, and thank you for providing that. People need to do more. And your local representatives, and we've been through this. I've been through this with sand mining BS that went on and all the stuff that comes with that. But your representatives need your support in order to turn down these companies. And the larger the number of constituents that stand up and call this out in their concerns, the easier it is for those people to vote no.
Mm-hmm.
And they are offering the world. There's so many things that are impacted, your streets and roads, that comes to you when they're doing the construction part. You guys will be paying for it. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we saw the debacle. People lost their lands, you know, when they grabbed their lands, annexed their lands. Farmers lost property and stuff, and it was a big boondoggle. So thank you so much, Todd, for covering this. And people, please be aware. Talk to people who have dealt with this. Really do your research, because it will impact you, not in a positive way. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gene. Appreciate you, Gene. Gene Eau Claire, WCFW, the tap. Gene brings up a great point, which is you, all of us, but everywhere across this state, you have a much larger impact on your local municipality. All right? That's not to say that I'm anti No Kings rally or anything like that. I think they're great. It gives people a sense we're not alone. It shows American discontent. you know, standing up to power. I think that's all great. But simply based on my own experience, major protests, with maybe the exception of the civil rights movement, but big protests usually don't have a direct impact on an outcome. I worked in the Capitol when 100,000 people showed up to protest Act 10. And other than my former boss, Dale Schultz, every other Republican didn't care. And the reason my boss voted no wasn't because of the 100,000 protesters. He voted no because he went into his own district and had 700 people in a gymnasium at Dodgeville High School. And that was repeated in Richland Center, in Mauston, in Reedsburg, in Platteville, in Lancaster. And he listened to his own constituents. So protests, major protests, usually don't have a direct line of impact on law or policy. What does have an impact is when you show up to your local city council meeting or your local town board meeting or your local county board meeting or your local school board meeting, because the people there know that you're directly voting for them or not. And so Gene's point, show up at these local governmental meetings. It will have a huge impact. 855-752-4842, talking about data centers in the state of Wisconsin. They're going to touch everybody, you guys. So if it hasn't come to your community yet, be prepared. Rick in Waukesha, listening to WAUK, Waukesha, Milwaukee. Rick, what say you?
Well, they're talking about the heat temperature in the lake. Do they have any kind of holding ponds to cool the temperature down?
Great question.
Before they put it in the lake?
Right.
You know? Somehow to not make it such a big shock?
That's a great question, Rick. I appreciate it. Thank you so very much. Rick and Waukesha on AUK. These are the types of questions that we should not only be asking at local meetings, but we should demand scientific answers for. Brett in Brown Deer on WAUK says the one thing they are trying to put in Port Washington, or the one they're trying to put in Port Washington, the data center, will consume as much energy as it takes to power 4 million homes. That demand will raise everyone's electric bills, and it has no other choice. The Chuckster. Haven't heard from the Chuckster in a while. Great to hear from the Chuckster in Racine. Listening to WMDX actually here in Madison. Must be using the Civic Media app. Don't forget, you can too. Download it for free in your Apple or Android device. The Civic Media app. It's free. Takes less than a minute to download. So what Gail King over at CBS News, at least for now, calls a deal. We'll get into that in a minute. The Chuckster says, wasn't it the Scott Walker / Donald Trump era of our state GOP lawmakers changed water use and access laws for Foxconn and its promise of 13,000 jobs? It was the Walker administration, but part of it lingered on into the Trump administration. Trump was not president when the Foxconn deal was cut. Talk about another boondoggle. Ask people in Southeast Wisconsin about that. All right, it is 47 minutes past the hour. I want to make sure we get into this. AI, artificial intelligence. All right. A lot of people worry this is going to take jobs, right? What skills will keep you employed in the age of AI? Well, humans are already losing jobs to artificial intelligence, but others are getting new jobs because they know AI and how to work with it. Adapting to AI will not be simple. It will require continued learning. Working with AI means questioning its results and keeping up as AI continues to improve. Adapting to AI won't be about technical skills. It'll be about having good human judgment. We're going to talk a little bit more on the other side. How we survive AI is taking your calls as well on a Tuesday. 855-752-4842. Come on back. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 Highway 63 Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. October 27th, Indiana Governor Mike Braun signed a proclamation calling the state's legislature into special session on November 3rd to consider congressional redistricting and a tax code issue. This follows weeks of lobbying by Trump administration officials worried that the GOP may lose control of the U.S. House. Indiana is already a very red state, with Democrats only holding 2 of 9 seats, District 1 in Northwest Indiana and District 7 in Indianapolis. Creating a GOP-leaning district will require cracking the existing districts and diluting liberal strongholds by adding Republican voters from adjoining areas. The Indiana Capital Chronicle reports that the state House has enough votes to pass a gerrymandering plan, but Senate leaders say they're still short of the votes needed. In Kansas, Democratic Governor Laura Kelly refused to call a special session for redistricting, but KCUR reports that Senate President Ty Masterson confirmed October 27th that he has the 27 signatures in the state Senate to activate a constitutional provision allowing the legislature to call the special session itself. But it's not clear if there are the 84 signatures needed from the House. The only competitive congressional district in the state, Congressional District 1, south of Kansas City, is held by Democrat Sharice Davids. We've linked to local reporting and the current congressional maps at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I've looked into the future. I've consulted a crystal ball, a futuristic. I'm going to perish at the hands, the paws of an AI dog, a robotic. I know it. That's going to be the death of me, the robotic dog. Welcome back to the Todd Hall Paul Show, everybody. Nice job, Zommers. That's, what is that, 1987? Mr. Roboto?
83, I think, 83.
Actually. 83. Wow. All right. Very good. Zommers on the tunes there. Glad to have you along. 8 to make it 7 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, hour number 2. What's worse for you? Raking leaves or cleaning the gutters, a Wisconsin fun fact. Lots to get to. What's happening at CBS? How it's going to impact the news that we watch. Truth is endangered right now in legacy news media. Tony Evers talking about the Affordable Care Act premiums for Wisconsinites. We'll get to that. Oh, Canada, the new ad driving Trump nuts. And Mike Clemens gets Aaron Rodgers to tell a cool story about his time in Green Bay. All that in hour two, so stay tuned. Right now we're talking about the skills that you need to stay employed in the age of AI. Also talking about data centers here in Wisconsin. Just to finish up the AI part, We said adapting to artificial intelligence won't be about technical skills. It will be about having good human judgment. Good judgment is based in honesty, trustworthiness, and ethics. Good judgment that enables us to use data from a machine to help make decisions that are good for humans and good for business. I think that's some pretty good advice, Sam. I don't believe in my lifetime, maybe in your, but not my life. They're not going to come up with an AI that can completely replace the human brain in terms of ethics.
No, I don't think so. That's, at least so far, that's one of the few things that can distinguish being a human. That's one of the things that makes us human.
Exactly. 855-752-4842. Let's go up to beautiful Merrimack, Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in, listening to WMDX. What say you?
Well, first of all, the thing that obviously makes us human is being able to pick out the traffic lights on a 3x3 grid.
Right.
That's another
matter. So right. Are you a bot? Anybody who's ever tried to log on to something, yeah, are you a bot?
Which, quick thing, bots can do those puzzles. The thing is they do them too fast.
Oh,
people are slow. That's why it works.
All right. Jack, well, go ahead.
Okay. So the issue with data centers is complex, and I know you realize that. The problem I see is everybody has a not in my backyard attitude that has been talking on your show so far,
right?
And
including me, by the way, I'll put myself in that category. But go ahead.
But we're going to need them, and they're going to be built somewhere, and what has to be done, and of course with the current administration this is not going to happen, but those kind of things have to be appropriately regulated, just like a lot of other businesses should be, which they aren't being done either on this administration. But that's another topic. But the bottom line is for instance, yes, you should have cooling towers, you know, and I'm a scientist, but I'm definitely not an expert on data centers, but if you're going to use a lot of water and it's going to be heated up, you're going to have cooling towers before you end up recycling that water. One of the other things is that there should be a requirement that if you build a center like this, you supply at least 50% of the power. Solar panels, wind power and batteries, you know, I don't care how it's done, not fossil fuels, but you know, that should be another important thing about regulating these data centers.
See, Jack, you just made it clear one of the reasons I love doing this show every day, because of people like you and all of our other great because you bring balance to the show, Jack. You've kept me honest, and I appreciate that because you're right. I'll put myself in the NIMBY, not in my backyard category, but I think you make a great and important point that it's not, and we've had people on the show that have said, look, you can't just stop data centers from ever happening, but it's how you do it. And I appreciate the balance, Jack, and I guess that I'll give a qualified opinion, which is, yes, if it's done like you're suggesting, under a heavy regulation, and done the right way, quote-unquote, a correct way, okay. But I have no confidence in, as we sit here right now, in the next 3.5 years, that will happen, and that's why I'm so opposed to it. Is that fair?
That's certainly a reasonable approach with the current administration. I mean, the whole idea is laissez-faire economics with this administration,
right?
You can't have a capitalist society with no regulations whatsoever. And that's what these guys want.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Jack. Have a great day up there, beautiful Merrimack. Forgot to ask about the ferry. I think it's still open. Ferry is still open up there at Merrimack. All right. I want to hit this quickly. Dan Schaefer passing this along. The city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, Milwaukee Public School District, the Milwaukee Bucks. How about that? Faith leaders and other partners are launching a unified effort to ensure families have access to food and basic necessities during the federal government shutdown. food share benefits are expected to be paused on November 1st, i.e. SNAP or food stamps, due to the ongoing government shutdown. In collaboration with the Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and Nourish Milwaukee, the drive will collect non-perishable food and monetary donations to support Milwaukee area food pantries. We'll give you more details in hour number two. Come on back. That, lots of current event topics, and what's worse, and Zomer spinning cool tunes. All that and more for a Tuesday edition of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Residents and tourists in Jamaica sheltering in place as Hurricane Melissa batters the island. The storm hit as a Category 5 hurricane on the West Coast, now the most powerful hurricane recorded in the Atlantic Basin. ABC News meteorologist Kenton Joecki says winds of 185 miles per hour have weakened a little, but not enough to lessen the threat.
The rest of the day today, Jamaica is really going to be in for it, especially the western half of Jamaica. That's where the worst of this is going to be.
ABC's Ike Ajachi is in Kingston and says Melissa is churning at a slow pace.
The real danger isn't necessarily just the wind. It's the sheer volume of rain that's staggering. Some areas could see up to 40 inches by tomorrow, triggering that catastrophic flash flooding and landslides, especially in the hilly and mountainous regions.
The Jamaican military and fire brigade say they are ready to respond for search and rescues once needed, once the dangerous storm passes. This is ABC News.